I'm very pleased to welcome the Fremantle Shipping News, Rebecca Newman. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thanks very much for having me. It's good to be here.
Well, it's good also to be talking about this anthology of poems, Right Way, Well Up or Down. It's actually Right Way Down, and you have to, at different times, turn the book this way and that in order to read it, make sense of it all. What's going on there, Rebecca?
So we wanted to produce a book that kids would really enjoy, and Sally Murphy had submitted a poem for the collection called Right Way Down, which she requested would be printed upside down on the page. And we thought that was such a fun idea. We just wanted to roll with that. And the illustrator, Bryony Stewart, was also very taken with that idea. So she had a lot of fun with the cover. And whichever way you turn it up, there's a child upside down on the cover. So that's a really fun element for kids in addition to the poetry.
So it's sort of emblematic of everything that follows. You do get hung upside down as you go along. It's a tremendous range of poems. You say, and I guess given the background of both Sally and you, who've worked in the area of poetry for children, that it's sort of for children, but it goes beyond that. I think it does. I'm enjoying reading it. Do you have
Oh,
adult
I'm so glad to
time?
hear that. Yeah, I think there is a label, children's poetry, which I guess people use to indicate that it's accessible for children, but I do think poetry is for all ages. And a lot of the time you can read, adults can read children's poetry. Children can very much enjoy poetry that's meant for adults or was written a long time ago. They may not understand everything that's in it, but just listening to the language and the rhythms and the lyricism in a poem is valuable across all ages, I think. You don't need to understand every word that's in it. So, yeah, adults can enjoy children's poetry. Absolutely. I really enjoy reading children's poetry.
I have a background in the law. Once upon a time, I even taught it. And I came to the view that when you thought you had to communicate with people who were smart lawyers, you became quite complicated in your expression. You didn't communicate as well. If you treated everybody as though they were, if not children, not learned in the law, I think you communicate better. You'd think that
I
might be
think,
the case.
yes, simple language is often the best, I think. And yeah, I think that works in poetry as well. You don't need to be wordy and highfalutin to get the message across and for your emotion and your feeling to be communicated. Simple is good.
Rebecca, there was one poem that immediately caught my eye because it is titled Cricket. And then it's got something which will puzzle some of us, a Fibonacci poem. There's a Fibonacci centre round about Fremantle, which is always a lot of fun. The poem goes bat, taps, run in, bowler aims, it swings, it bounces, it hits the pad. How's that? You're out. And this is a poem written by someone called Rebecca M. Newman, which I'm guessing is you, Rebecca.
That would be me. That's right. So, a Fibonacci poem is a really fun form of poetry. A little bit, it works with syllables, a similar way that haiku works sometimes. So, to construct a poem, you're using each line is the sum of the two preceding lines. So, the first two lines are one syllable, second line is one syllable, the third line is two syllables because it's the sum of the previous two lines, and so on, to build the poem. And you can go as many lines as you like. But yes, I've stopped where I am. And it's really fun to have a poem about cricket. We have a poem about cricket and a poem about basketball, which is a wrap in the anthology. I thought it was really great. We have a range of topics, so some sport, some poems about pets and animals and family and school and all those kinds of things. So I thought, you know, and a book for Australian children, it's a great element to have a poem about cricket in there, which is where I came to it from. My son was a cricket player when he was growing up, and we had a lot of cricket talk in our family in the household.
Well, your co-anthology editor, Sally Murphy, has contributed the very first poem here, Dumped, Catch a Wave, they said. Wait for a big one, then swim like mad. You'll surf in like a pro. So I tried. But instead of catching that wave, the wave caught me. I know that feeling. You don't have to be a kid either.
No, I think that's a very familiar experience to a lot of people around Perth area, or the coastal side of anywhere in Australia, really. And I really love as well Bryony Stewart's illustration on that page. If you look very closely, there's a tiny child at the bottom who's just been dumped. And I think that's just such an endearing illustration. It's such a common feeling that everybody's experienced at least once, I think.
Yes, and if you're a parent, you see the kid come in and you're waiting for their reaction. This kid, yes, a little bit stunned as I look at them. But the Bryony's work is fabulous because it really reflects so wonderfully the poems that come along. And in fact, in the sort of the credits or the thank you page at the very beginning, you and Sally both thank your mums. And Bryony says, for the illustrators who make poetry from pictures. And indeed, they do.
They do, especially Bryony, I think. When we handed the manuscript over to her, she really got what we were trying to do. And each poem in the book has its own illustration, which is something that really makes this book appealing, I think. So every page turn, you have an illustration to start with, which is a way into the poem for some readers. But it also sometimes adds an extra layer to the poem as well. So we were very fortunate that Bryony had time in her schedule to fit us in. She's a very busy illustrator, so we were very excited when she said that she would take it on.
Us a little bit more because I'm interested in this. How an anthology of poems like this comes about. It seems to me that if not all, most of the poets here are from Western Australia. There's a First Nations quality to it, to a lot of it as well. And you and Sally get together. How does it happen, and how do you go through a process of bringing together, identifying, choosing the poems that are now to be found in the book?
So, Sally and I have known each other for a long time. We've both had poetry published in educational magazines and anthologies over the years. And we were discussing, oh, we've been discussing for a couple of years now, how we could get WA poets' work into more of these anthologies, because often we don't hear about the opportunities as easily. A lot of the publishing houses are on the east coast of Australia. So we decided we would power ahead and do our own anthology. And initially, we were given funding for me to publish the anthology myself. Under, I have a website called Alphabet Soup that posts interviews with children's book writers and illustrators and book reviews that are written by children. So we thought we would use that as the platform to publish a book. And then further down the track, we were very fortunate to partner with Fremantle Press, who've really taken the book to the next level. So, in the initial stages, Sally and I were just working together. We did a call out on set, we posted up in lots of different forums, so Writing WA and all of our children's writing networks, for WA writers to submit poetry for the collection. We didn't have a set theme. So poets could submit whatever they liked, but they did have to identify as Western Australian writers. And then as the poetry came in, Sally and I were blind, not really judging, but blind selecting the poetry as it came in. So we would separate them out and individually list things as a yes, definitely for me, a maybe, or I don't think this belongs in the collection. And then we compared each other's lists and started from there. We were very excited to see little themes arising within the things that the work that people were submitting. So you'll find that it's divided into sections in the anthology. Because there was an open theme, there was quite a wide range of topics, but as things came in, some things naturally settled into little baskets of topics. So we grouped them together and we took it from there.
The division seems to have these headings: come on in, creative thinkers, creature features, the view from here, heading home. How did you arrive with those, and how did you sort the poems into those categories?
So we found that some of the poems fell naturally into a category. So we had quite a few poems about animals and pets, and that's clearly the set of poems that have arrived in Creature Features. And I think poetry about animals is always a very popular topic for children. So we were keen to have a whole section to itself. Some of the other sections draw their section title from poems that are in the section. So The View From Here is actually the name of one of the poems in the anthology, and that section has all poems that are Australian settings, bushland, camping, that kind of thing,
Fremantle
all
Harbour.
in together. And Fremantle Harbour, and we were very excited to have a poem about Fremantle Harbour because I think there are many books and writings already about Sydney Harbour, and we thought it's about time Fremantle Harbour had its own moment in the spotlight. There's also a poem about Bibra Lake in there, which is also very exciting, I think, for Bibra Lake to have its own moment and for children to recognise the surroundings and settings that are in the book and feel that they're writing, they can write their own poems about the settings that are around them as well. Then they might use it as a jumping off point. So the other sections, we decided to have, we had poems about school and home and family. And so we were dividing things up into matching like with like as they came in. And that seemed like a good number of sections. So that's sort of how we arrived at that in the end. But there was a lot of shuffling to and fro, and some of them belong in multiple sections. So we kind of experimented a bit until we arrived at the final list in the end.
Now, tell me, how does a book like this, an anthology like this, with poems like this, get out and get to be read by kids? And is there a formal process whereby which the educators sit the kids down and do poetry these days? Do they have a book like this or a selection of books? Are they encouraged to write and read them out loud?
So when we were designing the book and we were giving Bryony her brief, we first and foremost wanted the book to be a book that children would read for leisure. So not necessarily destined for the classroom, although we did hope that it would be picked up by schools and used in the classroom. But first and foremost, we wanted it to be a book that would sit alongside the other books that they're currently reading, Treehouse books, David Walliams, things that feel friendly and readable. The cover is really friendly and easy to carry around, not a hardback. And then we were hoping it would also be used in classrooms. So poetry is on the curriculum, on the syllabus. And I know that various classrooms do have a unit on poetry each year for the different year levels. We have a range of poetry. Levels is not the right word, but there's a poem in this book that we would hope every child in a classroom would be able to find their own poem in the book. So there are poems that are just a few words, not overwhelming, a lot of white space on the page. And then there are other poems that are for deep thinkers and have a lot more layers so that each kid can flick through the book and find one that talks to them and they feel like they're connected to. And we're hoping that in the classroom, children might be able to use a poem in the book that they could springboard off for to start to write their own poetry. So the things like the Fibonacci poem about cricket is a really can be a really comforting in for poetry because you have a structure. There are also haiku in there, and I know that haiku is covered in classrooms, so it's quite good to have some examples in there that kids can use for their own. But we also have free verse, there's a pantoum, haiku, a limerick. There's a range of things for children to choose from and for teachers to choose from in the classroom. And Fremantle Press has also added teachers' resources to, you can download them from their website. So if people go to fremantlepress.com.au and search up Right Way Down, you'll be able to download for free some teachers' resources, or you can use them at home as well. You don't have to be a teacher, but some ideas for how to use the book to write your own poetry or just to interact with the book and enjoy the poems.
Well, there's also, I'm not sure if it's flash fiction or how you categorize it, by Christy Byrne, the boy with the dynamite idea, how blowing stuff up can lead to great things, the true story of Alfred Nobel. We have the Nobel Prize in his name.
We
How
do.
do you classify a piece of writing like that?
So that's rhymed poetry, and it's kind of in the style of Roald Dahl's Revolting Rhymes, if people are familiar with that. It's enjoyable. It's also informative. So that poem belongs in the section Creative Thinkers, and there's a lot of poetry in there that talks about creativity, creating art, writing, and STEM and STEAM themes. So that, I probably wouldn't call it flash fiction. It's a rhymed poem with its own rhyme scheme. Yeah. So, but it's also just having a lot of fun with words and rhythm, and it's a hilarious poem. It's good fun.
Now, this isn't entirely unfair. That is unfair on all the people who contributed. But do you have a couple of favorite poems amongst all of these that you just sort of piqued your interest and took you by surprise when you first read them?
There are. I think everybody has their own personal favourites in the book. I do love Meg McKinlay's How to Grow a Poetry
Yes.
is amazing. I think it's just a magic poem. It has rhythm and it's a pleasure to read it. It has a play on words and it also gets you thinking and admiring the cleverness of the language, I guess. I'm also quite fond of Carol Milner's Cockatoo's poem, just for the sounds in the poem, the use of alliteration. It's a really rewarding poem to read aloud, and again, a really familiar experience for a lot of people. If you're walking in a lot of the wetlands around here, you often, if you're lucky, we're fortunate to still at the moment have black cockatoos around. And yeah, that's, I do enjoy the familiarity of familiar themes and settings and animals and people in the work that I'm reading. But she also does some clever things with language in that poem as well.
And that's something that seems to me to also shine through as I'm flicking through and dropping, and my eye catches the way a poem is actually set out, the way it's been designed on the page. For example, Amber Moffat's Word Magic, I'm looking at, and it sort of narrows down. See what happens when you drop words in one at a time and boil them up together. It's really interesting. It gets you thinking about the composition of a or anything, any piece of writing, and the way that's done. But there is so much fun in the book.
Yeah, so we were really hoping to spark a love of poetry and wordplay in the book. So we weren't going for something that was very separate and detached. We wanted the kids to be able to feel like they could really get in there and enjoy themselves. So there are a lot of fun wordplay poems in there, as well as poems that make you think and are more slower, or some scary. There's a scary poem in there as well. There's a mix of things, but the importance just of playing around with words and enjoying them. And Amber's poem about word magic, that's a really good way of reading the poem on the page and seeing it reflecting the topic of the poem, but also guides a reader when they're reading it aloud. It forces you to slow down when you get to those points and speed up in other points where words are closer together. So yeah, the words on the page are really fun for reading, but also really fun if you try speaking them aloud as well. So that's something we hope will encourage kids to have a go at that too, because it's not done a lot these days anymore. But it is a fun thing to try.
Well, I enjoyed reading it, and I always get fascinated by the way a poem is set up when I'm reading. There's one poem, it's one of yours, Rebecca, How to Be a Dragon Egg. And I'm going to have to keep puzzling over it. It's set out on dark pages with what looks like an ancient sort of Scandinavian sword buried in the ground and all sorts of things in an eggshell, how to be a dragon egg. And I'm mystified. I'm wondering where this came from.
So, It actually had its beginnings in an exhibition at Paper Bird Books in Fremantle quite a few years back now, which had the theme of eggs. And initially, I'd written a poem about an emu egg, and that's kind of where this one had its roots. But I'm quite fascinated with the idea of dragons and that image of a dragon in a cave with a hoard of treasure. And I just thought it would be an interesting take to take the next step and see what it might feel like to be the dragon hatching out of an egg right back at the beginning. So I've gone for it's kind of a mood piece. It's sort of, as you're reading it, it's ancient and old and mysterious. And I like the idea that perhaps you could act it out with younger kids so they could be the dragon egg and curl up and imagine all the things around them and then emerge into the world. And I think performative poetry is also quite a fun experience. And yeah, I thought I'd put all the things that I like into one poem. So that's where I went with that one. And that hatch at the end is all in capital letters. So a little bit like Amber's poem, I guess, kind of directing the reader through the poem to know what to do at the end if they're reading it aloud. That's the
Well,
dramatic point.
it certainly is. I had goosebumps then. Could I invite you to read that to our listeners?
Oh, okay. Oh dear, I should have had it open at the page. I'll just
That'd
flick
be
through.
great.
Here we go. So it's called How to Be a Dragon Egg. Deep in a cave, cradled by pebbles and fish bones, wait. Be warmed by fiery dragon breath, be jostled and bumped, be rolled till you're buried in coins and gold. After thousands of years, feel your fireling stir, shiver, hatch.
Oh my God, it puts goosebumps through me and fear now. I'm
Ah,
gonna.
thank you. Yeah, I think Bryony's illustration adds another layer because it's very dark across both pages. They've put a black spread, so you get that really spooky dragon in a cave feel even before you start reading the poem. She's sort of positioned you to go into the poem that way, which is she's a genius illustrator, really. Amazing.
Absolutely, it does. It all comes together. I'll see how my youngest granddaughters, who are 11 and 9, react when they read that. But I suspect they'll have a similar reaction to me. We'll bring all of this to an end, Rebecca. It's been lovely talking with you, and I wish you and Sally great success and Fremantle Press in getting this out and about. It's really, for people who love poetry, a great introduction to various forms of poetry, topics, and it's beautifully put together. So congratulations to you and Sally. If people want to buy it, what's the easiest way for them to do it? I guess they can drop in and see Jen at Paper Bird in Fremantle in Henry Street, but they
Yes,
could
Paper
go
Bird
buy
Books
online.
does. Yeah, they do have it in stock. I was down there recently and they have quite a few copies. A lot of bookshops around Perth do have it in stock at the moment. You can ask your favourite bookshop to get it in. They can easily get it in, or you can go to fremantlepress.com.au and order it directly from Fremantle Press's website and they can post it out to you.
Which is probably the easiest way if you just want to get that done and.
Oh, I do like to support local bookshops. If people have their favourite bookshop, please do go and ask in there. But yeah, it's not always possible to go out in person, so it does make it easier sometimes if you can order it online.
There's immediate apologies to me to all booksellers around, because really, when you go into any bookshop, and I know the ones in Fremantle best, it's just a lovely experience and you find things in there that you weren't looking for and didn't expect to see.
Yes, browsing in bookshops can be quite dangerous. You always come out with more than you went in for, that's for sure. That's one of my favourite activities, accidentally buying books in bookshops.
Rebecca, it's been lovely meeting you, and it's been lovely talking about Right Way Down. As I say, congratulations and good luck with it.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you this morning.